You're listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast, where private practice and motherhood collide. I'm your host, Ashley Kamajiz, and here's the deal. I'm not here to give you fluff or hustle culture advice. I'm here to give you strategy to build a private practice on your terms, while naming the hard stuff about motherhood and the broken systems we're stuck navigating. If you're ready for honest, practical, and unapologetic conversations, you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. This episode is brought to you by Jane, a practice management software and EHR that's here to make private practice life a little easier. Running a private practice means managing a lot of moving parts, and that's why I love how Jane helps bring a bit of calm to the busy by allowing me to create custom automations to help streamline my workload. Need to send intake forms or appointment reminders? Jane can automate those things, helping clients show up prepared and on time. And when it's time to pay, it's all taken care of. No extra credit card swipes or billing cleanup later, or having to go to a different system to file insurance claims. I want my practice management system to be something that feels like a teammate, not just more tech to figure out. And that's why I switched to Jane. One of the things that I absolutely love most about Jane, their support team and customer service. You get unlimited help from real humans, even on Saturdays, by phone, email, or chat, all at no extra cost. If you're looking for an EHR that cares as much about the business side of your practice as you do about your clients, click the link in the show notes to book a free demo to learn more. And if you're ready to dive in, you can use my code ASHLEY1MO for a 1 month grace period on your new account. Welcome to this week's episode of the Therapist Moms Podcast. Today's episode comes out of a conversation that I was actually having with some of my friends who are just starting their private practice within the past year. And one of them was talking about how she was getting some new clients, but was finding that they were wanting to schedule for more like biweekly or monthly appointments, and was having a hard time figuring out, like, how do I get my schedule actually full? And how do I start working with these clients in a way that will be therapeutic for them, right? Because it can be hard when we're not seeing them consistently, but it can really be challenging when we're trying to fill our caseload and our schedule's not full. So we had a great conversation about it, and I thought this would be a perfect episode for the podcast. And so I wanted to kind of share my thoughts and conversation around this, because I don't think it's that I necessarily have like a magic like answer to this, but it is something that I didn't even realize was a strength that I have in working in my practice. When I was in a group practice back in 2015, 2016 is when I started there. One of the things that the practice owner always kind of asked me was, how do you continue to have clients come back and reschedule? I honestly didn't think anything of it. I didn't know that that was something that other clinicians in the practice were struggling with. And so I kind of shared, you know, what I was doing, and it really wasn't anything fancy, right? Like, I'm not super special. I don't think that everybody's like, oh, I just want to reschedule with Ashley. What I realized was that I was setting expectations clinically and structurally around what therapy with me looks like. And so I'm going to dive into that today. I think sometimes when we think about working with a client, you know, we come from a place of client-centered, that the client is the expert, that they are the ones kind of setting the tone for the therapy, right? We are not forcing the client to do something. It is kind of at their own pace. And that is absolutely correct. However, we are still the clinician. We are still the expert on the clinical aspects of working with somebody. I want you to think of it this way. When we go to see a doctor, when we maybe, let's say we are struggling with some kind of health issue or a pain or something, a doctor does not say, well, how often do you feel like you need treatment, right? They're not going to put the ball in our court to say, you tell me what you want. They're going to make a recommendation and say, hey, with what you have going on, it would probably be in your best interest to be seen X amount of times, or to go to like physical therapy for this long, this many days a week, or that if you are, you know, going through some type of medical procedure, like we recommend you do this at this time and then come back for a follow-up, you know, so forth. They make a recommendation. Now, you as the patient get to decide, do I want to follow that or not? Right. They may say, well, we recommend that you do this, come back every week for 3 months to get this type of treatment. But if you're like, I really don't want to do that, that's your choice, right? You get that choice. But the provider is going to make that recommendation based off of their clinical judgment and off of their background and education. And the same goes for us. And I think we lose that sometimes when we are working with clients, recognizing that we do have an obligation, I think, to say what we think might be best for the client, but that they get to ultimately decide if that is what they want. So when we're thinking about working with a client, and especially like those first kind of appointments, I think a lot of times I see clinicians kind of framing things as, what would you feel comfortable with as far as therapy goes? You know, how often do you want to come? I think the reality is most clients, if given the option, are really going to choose the least amount of therapy possible. Why? Because therapy is uncomfortable, right? We're asking them to sit and process and explore things that are not really like always joyful things that like have hurt or pain or traumatic, right? So avoidance is a human response, right? That is a way of coping. And so even if they say, look, I'm ready to do the work, their go-to may be like, well, yeah, like biweekly sounds fine. And so being able to think through their issues, think through their struggles, work through whatever it is that they're processing, that can be disrupting to them. So when we default kind of to this question of like, well, how often do you want to meet? I see more often than not, the client is going to say, you know, probably biweekly or every other week would be good. Or, you know, I think just like for every month would be fine. What do we see then happening is we see early drop-offs, right? That they're not continuing with their treatment, or it's hard to build consistency. And so then we and the client may feel like, why does it feel slow in the progress that they're making? Why does like the therapeutic relationship feel disconnected? It doesn't feel like we're kind of getting anywhere in our work. And I think the reason is that if we're really, really honest, it's really hard to build rapport when you are just meeting somebody for the first time and you're meeting biweekly. It's even harder, and I think almost impossible, when you are just meeting monthly from the get-go. Rapport requires frequency, repetition, continuity, right? That we are seeing somebody consistently and that they are feeling comfortable and confident with us and that we feel the same way. So when we are meeting biweekly kind of from the beginning, a lot of times we're spending every session reorienting ourselves to each other. We're kind of building that emotional safety that if we had more consistent appointments from the beginning would probably happen a little bit sooner. And then 2 weeks in a therapeutic like space can sometimes be a lot, right? A lot can happen in that time depending on what somebody is coming in to see you for. And so you could spend half the session just kind of catching up on what's going on. And again, when you are meeting monthly early on, I really think it is very, very hard to build momentum clinically and like from a rapport standpoint as well. There's limited emotional containment, right? Because it's not like you can, you know, carry things over week to week. It is hard, I think, for the client to like fully settle into the work. And so you're kind of like essentially restarting the relationship every time you are seeing somebody. So if you've been kind of operating from that standpoint and feeling like, oh, this is just not working the way that I would like it to with clients, that is not something you have failed at. It is a structure issue, right? That it is just really, really hard to make that progress when we are spacing things out. I mean, think about this with anything that we're trying to change in our life. If we're trying to, let's say, train for a 5K, but if we're only running once a week, we're not going to be making the progress that we may feel like we need to be making each week to get to the goal to be able to run this race or run it in a certain amount of time. It's going to take consistency and not having things spaced out week to week. It's going to take probably multiple times a week putting in the work. And that then from week to week, you start to see that progress. So again, it's not like a therapeutic, failure if this has been a challenge for you with your casework, but it's just something to think about structurally. We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter Comprehensive Connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real-life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug-and-send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/compconnecting. Client autonomy is so important, and I think it is one of like the core values, at least with social work. Things are client-centered, but that does not mean that we give up our clinical judgment. We have the education, we have the background, we have the hours of supervision, we have the licenses. And again, that does not make us the expert on our client, but we are coming with this clinical lens, and we have to use that clinical judgment to look at what do we think might be the best way and structure to help support our clients. Think of it this way, that when we are working with them and we're building goals in therapy, we aren't necessarily setting the goals. That is more of a collaborative thing of saying, well, this is what I'm kind of seeing. What are you wanting to work on? And together saying, like, these might be the areas of focus that we're working on in our sessions, right? So together we are building these goals. But the clinician, I believe, should be the one kind of leading the structure of what does it look like to be doing this clinical work? Is it a weekly appointment? Are they 90 minutes? Are they 45 minutes? We have to use our clinical judgment, our expertise, our education to look at what is going to be the best, to help the client get the outcome they're looking for. When we kind of take a more sitting back kind of approach, when we're not kind of leading with the kind of structure of the therapeutic process, clients may find that, like, well, therapy just isn't working, right? Like, I tried therapy one time, it just wasn't for me. I didn't really feel like I clicked with my therapist. I mean, that can happen no matter what the session structure is. But if you are only seeing them monthly or only seeing them biweekly, is it really that therapy isn't working, or is that it wasn't really given a chance? So thinking about using our judgment and thinking about how do we talk about this with clients, you might want to use, language along the lines of something like, based on the things that you have shared or the things that you've talked about that you're wanting to work on, what I recommend is the following, or the way that I work with clients at the beginning is, and then kind of identify what that is. And I'm going to share in a minute of kind of how I, what I use in my language to talk about this and kind of share with clients, how I structure my initial sessions. We are allowed to say what we believe will be the most supportive for their process. Again, the client has the right to say, I really don't want to do it that often, or it's not in my budget to do it that frequently. But we still, I think, have an obligation and a responsibility to express what clinically we think may be best. So for me, the way that I have this play out in setting up those appointments with my clients is I operate from a place of that at the beginning, I recommend weekly sessions. It really gives us time to build that rapport. It helps the client to establish that feeling of safety, and it really can help create momentum. So when I'm talking with clients about this, I start mentioning this from the get-go in my initial consult on the phone. And I think I shared that in an episode a couple weeks ago, and you can go back and check that one out. But what I share is that the way that I work with clients is that we start out on a weekly basis, And this helps us to just be able to like get to know each other better, feel more comfortable, really get a sense of what's going on. And if that feels comfortable, to continue on weekly session basis. If at the time it feels like, maybe things are improving or you're not feeling like you need weekly, then we can look to move to bi-weekly sessions or monthly if that makes sense. So I'm setting that expectation from that very first conversation. And naming like that, this is allowing us to build that rapport, to build that relationship, helps them to understand why that is important. And thinking about, again, the client has the opportunity to choose what works best for them. Clients have a choice. Some of them may say, I really don't want that. That's not what I'm looking for. And that's just information, right? Like that's not rejection of you necessarily, but it may be that like they cannot afford your fee to pay weekly for it, right? So if that's the case, you have the choice. Do I want to slide my scale or offer a reduced fee? But if you're doing that simply to get somebody in the door and not because you can actually afford it, I want you to really think about that. Is that the best thing for you? Will it make you feel resentful of working with this client if you know, well, I slid down my fee so, low and now I'm have this like standing appointment time. Is that going to impact that therapeutic relationship? It may not, but for some people it may. So thinking about when we are starting off in those weekly appointments, it really, again, is about building that like clinical safety, that connection, that relationship, helping the client to kind of build routines, right? That this is something we do weekly, and gives them, I think, more consistency to be able to do the work in between that they may need to be doing. When it's a longer space, we forget. We're like, oh, I'll get to that. I have an extra week time, right? But if there are things that we're wanting the client to be doing during session, skills or tools or resources, I think knowing that, okay, I have a week to get this done sometimes does help to focus the client a little bit better. And weekly sessions at the beginning, if you're feeling like, oh, is this creating like a dependence? It's not about that. Like it is so much more about just building that therapeutic relationship so that there is that trust, there is that relationship so that you can actually do that deeper work. So how I structure this in my practice, and I tell clients this at the beginning, when I tell them like I do, weekly appointments at the beginning, is all my weekly appointments are standing appointment times. I find that it helps you as the client to keep track of it, and it helps me to keep track of it easier in my schedule. Again, this builds consistency, it builds predictability for you and the client so that you know, like, okay, if I see this client every Tuesday at 10, if they're not there and that's unlike them, that like, okay, that's like a safety guard that something may be going on. It also, from a practice and a business standpoint, helps to build stability in your own schedule, right? So that when we have those big gaps and we don't have like full consistent weeks, it absolutely is going to impact us financially. But it's also hard for us to like, build something in our schedule that is maybe consistent for some clients, but not for others. So for me, all clients start out on a weekly basis at a standing appointment time. And then after we get to a place where the client may bring up they're looking for biweekly, it could be something has changed in their appointment time. Then we will look at how do we structure that so that I can alternate them with a different biweekly client. So that way I don't have multiple days where it's kind of like holes in my schedule each week. So I let them know that when they go to a biweekly appointment, I have times that I can offer them, but I will always look first to fill them in a time that so they can alternate with somebody else. Because again, this prevents those income dips. It keeps your schedule like humane, that you can kind of understand what's going on. And it's allowing, again, the client to have that consistency too of knowing like, okay, it is this standing point appointment every other week. I do have some clients that may come in saying, my schedule's really crazy. I think I can only fit in every other week. And I will try and work with them, but I will always try at the beginning to say, I get that. If there's a way that we could do two, maybe three appointments week to week, just so that way, again, we can build that consistency, we can build that routine, and then we can move to bi-weekly. They are usually really open to that because they understand that. But I, at a minimum, I try to do two appointments back to back. If I can get at least three, But the majority of my clients just stay at that weekly appointment until something else kind of comes up that makes it harder for them. And then when I do have clients who eventually go to monthly, those clients are scheduled wherever I have an opening. They don't get a standing appointment slot because having that monthly appointment, it really requires flexibility on their side and on my side. So weekly appointments always get scheduled first, bi-weekly comes after that, and then that monthly appointment kind of fits in wherever. The thing to also think about when you have somebody who is starting out either on a monthly appointment or on a bi-weekly appointment, right? We talked about the struggle of building that rapport. If you're only doing bi-weekly and something happens where either your schedule gets shifted, a kid gets sick, you're sick, you don't have childcare, something like that, or something happens where the client has an unexpected, situation come up, they can't make it that week, you're then looking at it won't be another month till you see that client. And if you're, again, at the beginning, really trying to build that therapeutic relationship, that is so, so hard, especially if you're saying, like, I'm doing only monthly. And if something happens, they have to skip that next month. That's 2 months before you see them again. So it's something to really consider when you're thinking about, again, like looking at this from a clinical standpoint, how am I going to structure my schedule and then the expectations around my schedule for these clients so that it's going to be able to offer them the best clinical outcome. And as you're thinking about like the structure of, do I have standing appointment times? Do I not? It is okay to say that having these boundaries is for me, right? That it protects your schedule, protects your peace, protects your finances. Like that is a real part of doing business. And so thinking about being able to have this retention of clients, it's not just about why I want to keep somebody on my, schedule because then I'm getting paid, but creating the conditions and the setting where therapeutic work can actually happen. It protects your nervous system because it's not like what is happening every session when they come in, because your income is also more protected. And then you have a better longevity because you feel like, okay, I'm seeing this progress. I'm seeing consistency with these clients. I'm seeing consistency with my own schedule that I want to keep going, right? When there are these holes and these bigger gaps, it may feel unsettling for you just from a business standpoint, too. So just recognizing that, like, it is okay to structure your practice in the way that is going to work best for you and to set that expectations with your clients. Having a structure does not mean it's a lack of care. It is a way of caring for your clients because, again, just like a doctor is going to offer their recommendations to us of what they think would be best, we get to do the same thing for clients and how we run our practice and what we think is the best for clinical outcome. They have the choice to either say yes or no, but it is our role to kind of set that expectation. You are allowed to lead at the beginning of this therapeutic work. You are allowed to recommend weekly care. You are allowed to recommend standing appointment times. You are allowed to tell them that, like, rapport takes time and consistency is the way that we build this. So, as you're thinking about kind of your own practice, if you're finding that, like, you're struggling with having higher retention of clients continuing to schedule, looking at what is your process? How are you setting up those expectations from the get-go? What is the process for rescheduling? If they have that standing appointment time, is it already on the calendar and you're just confirming at the end of the appointment that they are already booked for the next session? Or are you leaving it up to them to just reschedule when it works best for them? I want you to kind of think about one thing in your consult script or in how you kind of do that initial a meeting, whether it is through email or on the phone. How might you shift one thing in that to set a different expectation around what your scheduling looks like? And if this is something that you're looking for more support around, I definitely encourage you to book a clarity and coaching strategy session where we can work one-on-one to look at your processes, look at how you are presenting, your consults to clients and how you're talking about your schedule, how you're structuring your time. We can really dive in more detail to look at how do we build more consistency in your practice. You can either check out my website, racetoempower.com, and look for the clarity and coaching strategy session, or you can check out the link in the show notes. Building retention, it's not about convincing your client to stay, but building something that has a structure that is sturdy enough to really help support your clients moving forward and to build that consistency so that therapy actually is something that's going to help them. I want to thank you so much for being here today, and I will see you back here next week. Thanks for listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast. If today's episode resonated with you, I'd love for you to share it with another therapist mom who needs it. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And if you'd leave a 5-star review, it helps more therapist moms find this space. For resources and ways to work with me, head to raisetoempower.com and check the show notes for all links mentioned today. I'll see you back here next week.